We're going to call this meeting to order. I want to welcome everybody to this edition of the Garrett County Commissioner meeting. First thing we'll do is stand for the pledge, and then Commissioner Kitchen will give us the invocation.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for all those that are here in attendance today, Lord. We just ask that you be with each and every one of us and guide us and direct us as we go through this meeting. Lord, we praise you and glorify you, and we ask all this in your most precious holy name. Amen.
Please be seated. Okay, Mr. Knoll, we have any additions or deletions to the public meeting agenda?
No, sir, we do not.
All right, hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion is second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda is approved as written. First thing we're going to do, pleased to announce a proclamation for Patriotism Week in relation with the Elks of USA, September 7th through the 13th, 2015. Whereas the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks through its constitution is a patriotic order, and whereas the order promotes the ideals that the citizens of this nation live in freedom, one through the great sacrifices and many tribulations which have provided the foundation for a free, prosperous, and independent life, and whereas we realize that each generation must work to maintain this freedom, otherwise through carelessness or indifference, the rights and liberties enjoyed may vanish, and whereas it is fitting and proper to recognize this freedom and to honor the nation which provides it. Now, therefore, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners do hereby proclaim the week of September 7th through the 13th, 2015, as National Patriotism Week in Garrett County, and urge all citizens to join with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks in expressing gratitude for the privilege of American citizenship with appropriate celebrations and observances. In witness whereof, we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, set our hands and cause the seal of Garrett County to be affixed this first day of September in the year of our Lord 2015, signed by Commissioner Heimbaugh, Commissioner Titchnell, and myself. And Eric, I think you're here to accept the proclamation, and we appreciate you helping out. And if you have anything you want to say?
I just want to thank you, and patriotism is something that we all need.
As something the Elks stands teacher, for. I agree with you 100%.
You're wearing the right tie today.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll present this to you. Thank you for everything.
And thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody got a copy of the minutes of the last meeting. Any questions, concerns, or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
A motion, we have a second.
Second.
Second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes approved as written. All right, next up, we have the Mountain Maryland Energy Advisor Committee final report and presentation. Evan.
Is this the place?
Yep, that's it. You're on the spot.
My name is Evan Hansen. I'm the president of Downstream Strategies, which is an environmental consulting company based in Morgantown. And we're here to report on our work with the Mountain Maryland Energy Advisory Committee over the last 2 years. I think the commissioners should all have a complete copy of the report. We do have some handouts that have just some selected pages from the report that I'll be talking through. And I don't know if it's appropriate, since we have extra copies, to...
Sure, if anyone would like one, that's...
That would. appropriate place to put that, but this is copy of the press release.
I'm not sure the press gets a copy of it.
That would be great.
So we appreciate having had the opportunity to work here in Garrett County and with volunteers from Garrett and Allegheny County over the last 2 years. Garrett County put out a request for proposals in 2013, and our firm was selected to facilitate this process. And the process included a group of committed volunteers who met virtually every month from 2013 through May of this year to gather ideas and to discuss them and prioritize them and then move forward with the highest priority ideas. The final report, which we completed in July, you have a full copy of. This handout just has selected pages, and rather than try to go through a PowerPoint or something like that, I thought we should just talk through some of these select pages. So I also just wanted to mention that Jeff Simcoe is somebody that you may know because he's a Garrett County resident, and he facilitated this process while he was employed with Downstream Strategies until late last year. I took over after that, and I've been working with the committee through the finalization of the report. But we appreciate the work that Jeff did while he was with us. The second page of the handout is the table of contents of the report, and you can see that it's a rather long report. It's well over 100 pages. We wanted this report to be comprehensive and to reflect the great amount of work that went into this from committee members and members of the public. Most of the report is in the appendices, and we also wanted this to serve as a resource moving into the future that the county government and members of the public can use as they move forward with some of these ideas. Really briefly, in terms of the table of contents, after some introductory materials in Chapter 3, that's sort of the meat of the report. These are the three ideas that the committee prioritized and spent the most time on, and I'll talk about those in the most detail in a minute. That's one project related to biomass energy at Garrett College. The second is related to energy efficiency in public education, and the third is related to certain solar energy opportunities that are being pursued now. So those are in Chapter 3. Like I said, I'll talk about those in more detail. Chapter 4 are some of the other higher priority ideas that we thought were good ideas and we recommend for future action, but we simply didn't have the time or resources to address them yet. And then in the appendices, you'll see all the agendas and the minutes, the ideas that were proposed but were tabled, a comprehensive bibliography of all the research that we did, along with contact information. So moving on to the next page of the handout, that's page 4 of the report, and it's the introduction. Like I mentioned, the committee started meeting in 2013 and met for almost 2 years. And the committee was focused on energy opportunities, diversity of energy opportunities that could both support the local economy and provide jobs while also minimizing environmental impacts. And more than 20 ideas were put forward, some by committee members, many by members of the public. And if you look on the next page of the handout, it's page 5, you'll see a table that summarizes the ideas that were put forward. So like I said, there's about 20, and you'll see the check marks under the column called addressed by committee. There's more than three. We condensed those into the three projects that we moved forward with. And like I said, there's several that we flagged that we think are good ideas for future consideration, and then there's several on the right-hand column. Thought they were the lowest priority. Moving on to the next page of the handout, this is page 7, and this might look familiar to people who were involved with Garrett County government a couple years ago. This was the charge that was given to the committee. And basically there was a recognition that there were a wide variety of opportunities that could help diversify energy production and that can benefit the county and as well as Allegheny County and their citizens. So the charge was to look at all available energy production avenues while identifying and mitigating potential risk. And I did want to also acknowledge that at the start that while this proposal was put forward, or the request for proposals was put forward by Garrett County, Allegheny County did participate in providing funding and volunteering. volunteers and participation in the process. So that's broadly what we were charged to do. And I wanted to just move directly into those three high priority projects that we spent the most time on. The first one is described on the next page of the handout. It's page 13 at the bottom. And it's called the Biomass Energy Project Proposal. The committee became aware of the possibility of doing a biomass energy project at Garrett College. Currently, the college has a boiler that burns fossil fuels to provide steam to college, and there are biomass systems that burn locally produced wood products that can basically do the same job. And there are certain advantages to switching over to biomass. One is simply it could support the local economy because people can grow the fuel instead of purchasing fuel from outside the area. Secondly, the fuel, if it's sustainably harvested, could be carbon neutral, which is a good thing. And it could also save money over the long term. So people from the committee toured similar facilities that were already installed in Pennsylvania and had a positive impression of those. And then early this year, we were able to have the U.S. Forest Service do a draft feasibility report based on real data from Garrett College to understand the cost and benefits of transferring the system over to a biomass system. And this looked into the future at just not just the capital costs, but also the operation and maintenance costs, and compared it to what those costs are likely to be, depending on what fuel prices are in the future. So it looked at a couple scenarios. And what it did show is that the college could save money in the long term if it switched over to biomass. Of course, this depends on fuel prices, which are very hard to predict. But it did have a long payback period. In fact, it was a long enough payback period that it would be hard to attract private investors that would demand a shorter payback period. However, there are grants available from the Maryland Energy Administration that are available now. This type of thing. So the follow-up that's going on now is that the college is very interested in this concept and are trying to find a way to finance it. And if they can find a way to both find the right amount of money for the capital expenses and to do so with a short enough payback period and to fit it within the constraints that the college has on how they're allowed to budget for capital improvements, they appear to be interested in moving forward. So this was the first thing that we wanted to make sure you're aware of. Garrett College is investigating that option in some detail. The second is on the next page of the handout. It's page 17, and it's the Energy Efficiency Project Proposal. This is a combined energy efficiency public education concept. Over time, through guest speakers and other research, it became clear to the committee that there are significant opportunities to save money and save electricity and gas through energy efficiency, and that taking advantage of those opportunities really requires public education and outreach so that people are aware of what's out there. One of the things you're lucky to have here in Garrett County is a utility that has certain programs that are mandated for them to do to help help customers identify how they're using. So one suggestion is to help get the word out on these opportunities that your electric utility already has. We spent a lot of time discussing the different options for an educational event, whether to hold an independent event or to tie one into an existing county event. And we eventually settled on tying in with what's called Pechacucha, which you may or may not have heard of, but it's a gathering that is organized in cities around the world, but there happens to be one in Accident, where about 6 to 8 people give short presentations on any topic they would like. We just took over part of the most recent one to talk about energy efficiency and other energy opportunities. And this just occurred last week. So meet together with one other speaker, gave some information that serves the education think there are lots of other opportunities moving forward to get information out, and I'll talk about that at the end. And then the third proposal is on the next page, and it's related to solar. And this is the one where the most actual on-ground success stories can be told. There are many different options for solar. We live in a different world now than we did 10 years ago in terms of the price of solar, and just the feasibility of installing it. And when I'm talking about solar here, I'm talking about using solar photovoltaic panels to generate electricity. The price of solar has dropped in half just in the last few years. It's now cost competitive with traditional fossil fuels in many states. And there's opportunities to put solar on people's homes, on people's businesses, and also to have larger solar arrays. We looked at many different options, and there's many of these are still good ideas, but the ones that actually are moving toward implementation are arrangements with a private company called Solar City, which is a company that operates across the country, including in Maryland. And the way they work is they will actually finance a solar system, so there's no cost to their partner. They will build it and enter into a lease agreement with the partner, and that lease agreement includes a contract where essentially you're buying electricity from Solar City at a rate that's cheaper than the current electricity rate, and it locks in that rate, typically a constant rate for some period of time, like 10 years. Solar City has signed agreements with a private corporation, Beitzel and Pillar Innovations, and has also signed an agreement, as far as I know, with Garrett County. The Beitzel facility is going to be 536 kilowatts and is located in the North Garrett Industrial Park. And the Garrett County facilities are at three locations: the Oakland Roads Garage, the Grantsville Refuse and Recycling Center, and the Deep Creek Lake Wastewater Treatment Plant. And the county is currently in the process of cutting and selling timber on these sites, basically clearing them so that the appropriate amount of solar panels can be built. The county received a grant from the state to help with the grid interconnection costs. And like I said, both the county projects and the Beitzel projects should save money, will save money over the long term. So these are smart investments. And then flipping a few pages in the handout to page 48, the conclusions and recommendations. The committee has four main recommendations. One is to continue the process of implementing those three projects that I just talked about, the biomass, the efficiency public education, and the solar project. The second recommendation is to try to find ways to initiate actions on those other ideas that we thought were good ideas and worth pursuing, but we simply didn't have the time to pursue. And those are detailed in the report. Third recommendation is to consider whether the county could have some way to institutionalize the work that we've done to move it forward in the future. I think the committee worked very well together. It was very productive, even though there were people from a diverse set of backgrounds and walks of life who participated. And we thought that there really is an opportunity here to continue to identify opportunities. And if there's a way that the county can have somebody who's on the current staff or a new staffer, or perhaps think about a new committee that starts again, and we think these would be productive uses of time and resources, especially if they could support efforts that require small amounts of time or funding that could have big rewards. And especially now that there's more solar projects going in, there might be some of those small effort, big reward projects that come up, because we'll be able to demonstrate the feasibility of some of these projects to other public and private entities. And the fourth recommendation is to continue to find ways to disseminate this information to local residents. We appreciate that you have the energy page on the county website. There's also a separate NNEAC page that has all of our materials on it. But if there are ways to continue getting information about these energy issues, we think that would be productive. And then finally, the very last section in the handout is the contact information. Page 131 is the 12 participants. And I really want to thank the efforts that the county staff put into this. They put a lot of time and effort in. Mike Cook, who chaired it until he left several months ago. Cheryl DeBerry really put a lot of time in, especially these last few months, bringing it to a conclusion. And everybody else who was not on staff here was doing it out of their own volunteer time. We couldn't have done it without them. And then on the next page, you can see the beginning of the presenters and guest speakers. You can see we have a wide variety of presenters and guest speakers from all across Maryland and elsewhere. It goes on to the next page. We thought that they really brought in a lot of useful ideas and really helped us refine our recommendations. And finally, on the very final page of the handout, people from the public participated throughout the process. And we always had time set aside for public input, and we were very open about that. There were people who formally submitted ideas, and we appreciate that. And there were other people who just participated in discussions, and we appreciate that as well. So with that, I would just like to say, on behalf of Downstream Strategies, thank you for the opportunity to work with you. It was a really fun and productive process from our point of view. We enjoyed working with the county and the volunteers, and I'm happy to take any questions. And I'm also happy for members of the commission or the public to contact me in the future if you have any questions about what we did or if you have any energy opportunities that you think we could help follow through on.
Do you recall how many kilowatts the solar array is at the sewage treatment plant in Euclid Plant?
I don't have that number, unfortunately.
We have it, I just can't remember that. Yeah. Curious about how it compares to plants.
Yeah.
Any questions? Any questions from the public? Yes.
Well, I guess their role is to advise you guys. What are the next steps? What's the follow-up, or what do you guys do with this advice?
Well, I think this is the final report presented by the group, so then I guess it would be up to us to look through their recommendations and talk with our staff and see what's implementable, what we want to follow up with, et cetera.
Well, you're doing the solar one already.
Right, and I know the college is still looking into the biomass. The last I spoke with them, that's something that's still definitely on their radar that they want to look at and pursue.
What about the discussion or recommendation, I don't know if there's a recommendation, about having some sort of capacity for individual households or businesses to tap into the kind of solar thing you all are doing?
I know that was talked about, and I think it came from this committee. We have not had an opportunity to discuss that yet. And with Mike, I know Mike Cope was a leader in that thought process because he and I had spoken about that. So when he left, there's somewhat of a gap there with Alex and Mike being gone. Since then, some of you may know, and Mike did install solar panels at Firefly. We were just up there. So he's a big believer in that. There's two businesses I know of in the county that are doing their own solar arrays, Savage River Lodge and Mike. I don't know if there's anyone else doing anything on that scale. I think there's a few others that might be doing some smaller stuff. But, that's something I think is worth looking at more and probably engaging Mike in that conversation, because I think it was sort of his brainchild. Yeah, but I looked through most of this. I haven't read all of it word for word, but I did look through most of it and kind of was up to speed with a lot of it, because a lot of the people that presented and participated, I worked with or talked with. There's a lot of great stuff in here. I appreciate your time and thoroughness on this. And I think there's some very good ideas in here, and certainly some things that are worth us looking into further.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes.
I just have a suggestion for education, doing maybe some education with the schools. Was that ever, because kids tend to bring those ideas into their home. Is that something that would be feasible? Or
I agree. I think that's a good idea. I think there's probably existing curricula out there that they're easily adopted into schools here.
Thank you. Your Pacheco show was great on Thursday.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right, next on the agenda, the LMB appointment extension request. Kevin?
Oh, yes, sir. We have a request from the Carroll County, for the Garrett County Health Department, Local Management Board, to reappoint board member Henrietta Lease for a second term. It would be effective July 2015 through July 2018.
Questions, comments, concerns? It's a reappointment.
Reappointment, yes, sir.
Motion to accept the reappointment.
Move to accept.
Second.
Second.
Motion, second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Anyone else have anything to bring up? Next on the agenda is public commentary. Anybody got any questions, concerns, comments? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Jim Stanton, Smokey, representing the Yawkigate River Watershed Association. The board received the mail from MDE regarding the Hoyes Run denial of the water withdrawal application. If each of you could kind of respond with your intentions about how where you're going to go from here.
I'll speak for the group unless anyone else will. I think the very next step is to reconvene with DPU. See what options are available comprehensively to meet the needs of that area and water. We talked about it the other day when we received the letter, so the actual next step is to sit down with Pat and say, if this is off the table, what other options are there?
Okay, thank you.
Yes?
What's that process? I mean, there's 1,100 or 1,200 homes up there they want to develop as well. Is that a discussion that goes through the Planning Commission to make some sort of determination, or what's the process for resolving the issue?
Well, I would argue that probably should come from DPU. They're the experts on it. They should say what the options are or conceivably could be, and then the next steps would be MDE approval depending on, and possibly DNR approval depending on what they look at. And then I'm sure that the Planning Commission weighs in at some point. It would have to go through those proper channels, but I think it should be led by DPU in advance, because they're the ones that are going to know where the water is, what the options are or aren't. That, you know, and I think they need to come up with four or five options if possible, because one might get shot down or they might not be feasible or whatever the case may be. I do want to make a comment, though. Since our meeting in Kitzmiller, and this came up when I was with the grand jury today, water seems to be talked about a lot in Garrett County, but one thing I'm absolutely certain about is that Garrett County as a whole has a lot of quantity and very high quality water. The issue and the challenge is to get it from where it is to where it needs to be. And you know, Grantsville is a prime example of that. You know, when we were growing and we could grow quickly and leaps and bounds if we could just get the capacity from DNR to let us pull more water out of the ground. It's not just us saying, here's a site you'd like to put a well in. It's, is the water good? And then how much will DNR allow you to take out? Or will a private property owner allow you to dig a well there that might allow you to pull more water out? But you know, I think someone tried to make the assertion that we have a water issue in the county, and that is far from accurate. I think the water is good, the water is clean. Most of the public water systems that I know of require the minimum. The quality is good enough, it requires the minimum treatment level. So we're not talking about a major issue here as far as quantity or quality. Most of the issues, just like this issue, is how do you get it from point A to point B, and that seems to be the challenge. I don't know if anybody else wants to weigh in on that at all or not. But.
Short term, the immediate need is the owners of the WIS want to build a new hotel And the National Land Park is wanting to open a new development on the hill that has 170 lots. So that's the short-term need. Neither of those can happen until we find an additional or supplemental water source at this point.
Is there a long-term plan to have more lots up there developed, not just 170 over?
I think if you go back and look at the plans that DC Development had, there were plans for more lots than that up there. So what we've talked about among ourselves is how do you meet that short-term immediate need and do that in a comprehensive way or a way that can be expanded then to meet future needs. So Paul's right, we've already told Pat we need to have a meeting to sit down and look at what are the options, what are the costs, what's the timing. There's a whole lot of issues to look at.
And ancillary to that too, talking about cost, generally when you extend public service, you get an ad valorem tax or something that follows it to pay for the cost of the project. So if the water's gonna serve person A, person B that's nowhere around it doesn't have to pay for that project. What I've noticed is we've gotten our feet on the ground with the county. There are areas in the past that this has been done that have had, in my opinion, exorbitant ad valorem costs tied to them that the average Garrett County resident can't afford. So that's another factor in the equation too. I think engineering wise, you can probably do pretty much anything you want to do if you come up with money to do it. And at the lake, the double-edged sword at the lake is you've got some property owners that probably can afford 25-cent ad valorem tax, but you've got generational Garrett Countyans that's well beyond the reach of what they can pay. So that it's that creates the complexity in this more so than is there water and is there good water. It's a much deeper question than that.
So it's a county taxpayer cost involved in accessing and transporting the water?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, it's
a taxpayer for the people who live within the district. Yeah, an ad valorem tax.
This is the sewer district.
Yes, but if the DPU is going to put a water line through your property, you would pay a tax on that to pay for the infrastructure, but I wouldn't because I live in Grantsville and have nothing to do with that. That's what the ad valorem tax is designed to do by the state. They do it with water and sewer. Generally, there's some other utilities sometimes that get mixed in with that. But it's a localized tax for the people that fall within the service district of what's being done. We don't take money from the general fund to subsidize that because that negates the purpose of the ad valorem tax.
So we don't have an adequate facilities law like some downstate do where the developer would pay the infrastructure costs associated with the development?
I'm not sure. Clarify your question.
Well, it's like an impact fee. If I'm going to come in and put in a 100-room hotel and it requires pipes and it requires upgrading the treatment facility at the water treatment plant, then downstate they require the developer to pay those costs.
Garrett County does not have that. Now, I can speak relatedly, and I can't speak for the county on this, just my previous experience. I know the municipalities, some of them at the town level, if someone comes in and says, I want to put a 80-house development over here, they're going to be responsible, they being the developer, to put all the infrastructure in and then turn it over to the town. I don't think the county has that.
And that hasn't happened at the lake. So since I'm in that sewer district, you're telling me I'm going to have to pay to bring the water to that 100-room hotel?
Water and sewer are separate.
Yeah, water and sewer would be separate.
So all I have to pay is the sewer?
If you fell within a district.
I'm in the sewer district.
If you fell within the service area of whatever's being added, you would be required to pay an ad valorem tax.
And what's the advantage to me that I'm paying that tax? Why am I doing that? What do I get? What's the benefit?
Access to the water and or sewer or whatever is there.
I already have access. No, I'm paying for access on the top of the mountain.
Well, specifically, you're not paying, there's nothing being added at this point.
No. We're talking about a project that's going to come online. When the hotel's built, you're going to have a sewer system and a water system, right? That's what the discussion's about, how to get the
I don't know about sewer. All we've talked about is water. I don't know if the capacity for sewer might be there already. I don't know. This The issue Smokey brought up was strictly a water issue, not a sewerage issue.
No, that's come up from this discussion. Would you guys consider having some sort of an impact fee that says when developers develop a property, they pay those costs instead of having the taxpayers pay them? I don't get any direct benefit from that. It increases the value of the property up on the hill. It doesn't help me at all.
I think...
Why wouldn't we have a law like that that says if you're developing property, the developer who benefits from that development and makes money and gets wealthier should pay for those expenses instead of me because I don't get any benefit from it?
Well, I think it's more complex than that. I can just, again, from my experience, when we annexed, the last time we annexed in Grantsville, we had four people that didn't want to annex. They didn't want water and they didn't want sewer. But the majority of people did, and it had to go by them. And state law on sewer says you have to hook up in a certain footage of your home. So there's a greater good versus the individual good factor that plays in. And then it comes back again to economic development and what that might do to stymie or encourage economic development. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there to play. But I think to answer your question directly, would we consider... I've said since I've been elected, I would consider anything that makes sense that benefits the county as a whole.
So what's the process to get that on the table for discussion? Several years ago, they annexed two or three developments around the lake, and my payment for the sewer district almost doubled because I paid for all that infrastructure to go into those properties. That made the properties more valuable. That made the real estate developer more valuable, and I paid the cost. And that from an equity point of view, I don't see what the argument is. Maybe you guys can tell me what the argument is. But I think the developer who's benefiting should pay. So what would be the process to try to formalize something like that?
Well, I think the process for anything would be to write a letter to us expressing that sentiment.
All right, thanks.
Yes, sir.
You was talking about annexing Grantsville and stuff like that. I used to live at Hutton. One guy got the sewage come to Hutton. Why didn't all the people that lived in the town of Hutton have to hook up to it? Why did you certain ones? But did you have overrule of Creon?
Who?
Creon is the one that brought it up in that sewage. And that benefited everybody because, like, if you couldn't have a septic system put in, once you hooked up to the septic from Crown, you could build as many houses as you wanted in that and hook one to the sewage in that. Now I'm fighting about the water, which people in Rosedale's been fighting since 1950 to get water out there in that. Okay, I moved to Rosedale on that, and now in it, the word's out, West Virginia is going to bring water across the state line at Hutton. So putting the water in that, there's a lot of people in Rosedale on that, their health is failing them, and I got letters or copies of the newspaper from last year where these grants gave certain amounts for people for their health and that for the water and sewage that benefit the people that's got bad wells, bad septic. And Rosedale, the health department don't have no information about the sewage in Rosedale. And they say, well, if you put a septic tank in a septic system, update your land and that, we gotta notify us, get permits and that. But then other people says under the Grandfather Act and that, they don't need it to put. And why isn't people getting permits to put septic tanks in and stuff like that? And, you know.
Well, I think if someone is gonna put a new septic in, they would have to get a permit from the health department.
They're not putting new ones in, they're putting updating them. You know, right now, the majority of the people that lives in Rosedale, their sewage is running right down to a little stream, and then the health department or somebody's supposed to come out and check the water, and that you're saying the water is bad or good in Garrett County. Well, from Oakland to the state line, West Virginia line, talked to the private people that has wells and asked them about their water. And I got letters from the health department where they checked my water and a couple other places there. The people let them check it. The other people blocks it off and that won't let them come on the property to check their water. Their water's bad. And I got a neighbor's got a truck. It's been sitting there for going on 2 years, backed up against my fence like that backwards. He keeps putting stuff in the bed of it, and it's full of green water, and gnats is coming out of it. And I've complained about it going on 6 years now. Health department don't do a thing about it. So I'm thinking about getting a lawyer from Baltimore. He's with the about the drinking water and stuff like that. And my water's not used fit to use in the community. And there's other houses there too, it's the same way. You know, and I got letters from the commissioners who was here the last term and that they were supposed to do this, supposed to do that. To this day, I've never got word from them. The health department didn't come out. They say if you don't like it, move. Yeah, I talked with.
We talked and told you I'd get. I got some answers for you.
You need to take a run out there, and that, like I said, you can pull my driveway. And I got it on tape and where the sewer's running on top of the ground.
I told you I'd do some research for you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and it's not only me. I've tried talking to some other people that's up there, and they got the same conditions and that. And they went to the mayor and that of Oakland and gave their names and stuff like that. And, you know, and like I said, West Virginia has got water to the state line.
Well, and remember, I told you, I think it was two meetings ago, that the town of Oakland is interested in going to Rosedale, but it gets in that same situation of cost, benefit, how much it will cost everybody on an ad valorem, how much it will cost the town and what they'll get in return, and how much they can get in grant funding to do that. And to this point, they've not been able to put a package together to make it work. And I have not talked to them in a while to see if they still have an interest, but about 2 years ago, they were extremely interested in doing something with Rosedale. So I would follow up with them if I were you. And in the meantime, Kevin is going to look into the stuff and he'll get back in touch with you.
And like talking about the cost and that, when I lived at Hutton, that they put it in and that, and then you had a bill every month and that you got to pay, and they'd supposed to pay it back.
Right. Absolutely. That's what
and
would
you
happen.
Know, like, I can't drink the water. I can't really use it in that. So I go and buy my drinking water, cooking water. There's a lot of people in that. I go through about 100 gallon of water in that I have to buy in that for drinking, cooking, and stuff like that a month. And that, you know, I'd be willing to pay. The other people too just got the bad water. They're willing to pay for it in that, you know. And I read in that where it costs like $1,000 a foot for putting lines in. Well, you know, how far would it be out there to run a line out?
That I don't think it's quite $1,000 a foot, but that would be conversation. I'm sure Oakland has all that because I know they looked into doing something, so they would have measured it. They would know, but that's probably a question.
Well, if West Virginia's going to bring it into Hutton, why don't we talk to them and see if they'll bring it on out?
I'm going to have to talk with DPU about that because I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen.
Now, in the gentleman there, that he's supposed to give me copies of the master plan, like on it and that. I got a couple pages and copies out of it. And Crillon has water and sewage. 1,712 Hutton Road. They've already got it that far, and I live at 5,100 Hutton Road, so that's better than halfway.
Well, Kevin will look into that and he'll get back with you. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Hearing nothing. The next meeting scheduled for Tuesday, September the 15th here. And we will also, next month and the following month, we're going to go to two more communities before winter sets in. We'll announce those dates and places when we finalize those. If there's nothing else, on the
22nd.
We are going to meet in Bloomington on the 22nd as a follow-up to the water issues that they have with their system. And we're going to meet with them as an informational meeting for them at their request from our community meeting with them a couple of months ago. So that will be a follow-up for them done by DPU. So hearing nothing else, once again, thanks for everybody for coming. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So
we have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.
Can we get a
picture
or something? Get a picture?
Kevin, I want it.
Let me see if Carol.
About bringing water in from Preston County into Garrett County. I'm not really sure about the logistics of that because of crossing state.